Bible, if you'd turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, 1 Corinthians is one of those books you could just absolutely preach from it till Jesus comes. It is just loaded with stuff. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, that ought to take care of free will offerings, isn't it? Amen. Nobody knows how God's prospered you but you, but if God's prospered you, then you are to take a tithe off of that and give it to God. Amen. God gives you $100 a week, give God 10. God gives you $500 a week, you owe God 50. God gives you $1,000 a week, you owe God 100 bucks. Amen. And as God prospers you, lay it by, and you collect it on the first day of the week. That's why we take offerings Sunday morning. Amen. We don't take one any other time because it didn't say to. It just said lay by on the first day of the week. And Paul said, do that so when I get there, you don't have to make a big to-do and take up a bunch of money for me. Amen? And so when our evangelists come, when our missionaries come, we got it all done. We don't take up nothing when they get here. Amen. See? And I just like doing it that way. Now, I'm not bad-mouthing anybody that doesn't do it like us. It's a free country. And you do whatever God will give you grace and liberty to do. Amen? But that's the way we're going to do it. It's always the way we've always done it. It works good for us. Now, verse 3, and when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. That's a missionary often there. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. Well, I bet there's some people in that church wasn't happy. Paul just said, I'm going to come through there, and that would have been okay, but he said, I just may spend the whole winter. They're going to have to clean up their act and live like Christians. Amen. I'd like for the preacher to call up and say, listen, open up that spare bedroom you got back there. I'm going to stay there for about a month. And you'd have to act like a Christian and talk like a Christian and watch Christian stuff on TV and talk about God every now and then because the preacher's in the house. That'd be a pits, wouldn't it? Would that upset your apple cart or what? Well, preacher, we live like this all the time. Sure you do. Verse 7. For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door of effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Opposition and trouble accompany the Christian life. I don't know why in the world anybody that knows anything about humanity and spiritual things would ever think that the Christian life is going to be just one big happy trip. Son, it's going to be a fight every day of your life. Amen. If you ain't fighting church members, you're fighting folks out in the world. If you're not fighting folks out in the world, you're fighting the devil. If you ain't fighting the devil, you end up fighting with yourself. Amen? It's a fight. Verse 10, now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. See, Paul didn't have any false modesty. Isn't that a blessing? See, he knew what he was doing. He wasn't being braggadocious. He was just telling you what he was doing. Amen. All those people, they think they're so insignificant and all. That's false humility. You know, they really are stuck on themselves most of the time. Verse 11. Let no man, therefore, despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty and power to preach. And I pray, O God, that you would speak to hearts of men and women, hearts of boys and girls, hearts of your children. Lord, I pray that we would not leave here as we came, that something supernatural would be done inside of us, deep down in our heart, that would change our life for the better, change our life for your glory. Help us now, Lord. Meet with us. Touch us. Do something in us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled Convenient Christianity. Convenient. And just in case you don't know what that word means, let me give you a definition. The word convenient, according to the dictionary, means adding to one's comfort. Easy to do, easy to use, easy to get to, causing little work, handy. Okay? That means if it's convenient, it doesn't put you out to do it. See? And a lot of things just aren't convenient. And if they're not convenient, the honest truth is people just ain't going to do it. They just not. I mean, if there's any trouble involved, for the most part, they're just going to scratch it off. Let me show you. Let me illustrate it. People get ready to buy a new house. And they look at it, and they say, oh, I love that little house, and it is so convenient. Why, the job is right there, and the school is right there, and the church is right there. I can be to any one of them in 3 minutes. Now, what's the biggest selling point about the house? It's convenient. See? If you live out on Highway 49, it's 25 minutes to Galleria. There ain't nothing convenient about that. I hate having to make that drive. Amen? It's just not convenient. Okay, so if it's not convenient, we don't like it. We don't want to mess with it. All the restaurants are on Dave Lyle Boulevard down at Galleria Mall area. If you want anything decent to eat in this whole area, that's where you got to go. Well, it's not convenient. So I end up having to eat beans and taters every night. we look at a house, a lot of what we're checking out, we want to see how convenient it is to the church. How convenient is it to work? See? And then, of course, you know, if it's convenient to one and not convenient to the other, you have to prioritize which one's more important, but you're looking for it to be as convenient as possible. Amen? My wife would make this statement. She'd say, oh, I love that little mall. It's so convenient, which means that she can just boogie right down there and spend my hard-earned money. Amen? That means she doesn't have to drive all the way to Charlotte and go to South Park. My wife would just love for them to put a high-end mall right down the street from us with a Starbucks and a... Yeah, belts. And she'd be happy. So what do you like about it? Well, it's convenient. I can just hop right down there. The truth is, out there where we live, ain't nothing convenient. We got to drive 15 miles to get anywhere. And so why 15? It's only 7 miles into York, but there ain't nothing in York. So our minimum trip is Charlotte or Rye Hill. Or Gastonia, but there's nothing convenient. A convenient mall. I like this one. Brother Lewis is really into this. He says, these remote controls are so convenient. Why, you don't even have to get up to turn on the big screen. Hey, man. At my house, the clicker is mine. I just want you to know that. It's mine. I let her hold it when I leave the room. If I go take a shower or something, she can hold it. She can't use it, but she can hold it. But when I come back, she gives it back to me. The clicker is mine. Amen? Amen. Now, I don't know if that's in the Bible or not, but if it's not, it ought to be. Amen. The clicker is a male device, and it's not appropriate for women to use that which pertaineth to a man. I'm just funning. But boy, they are convenient. Remember when you had to get up and walk 6 feet across the living room floor of the den and change channels with a knob? Lord have mercy. That's so cavemanish. those clickers, they're just so convenient. Television is convenient. You ever watch a political speech? The president comes on, and they've made it so convenient you don't have to listen to him. You don't have to think about what he said. Just sit there in a daze, in a stupor, whatever it was you were doing, and some talking head will come on right after he goes off and tell you what he meant to say. Amen? Isn't that convenient? No more thinking. CBS, NBC, ABC, they'll all do it for you. Now, the opposite of convenient, of course, is inconvenient. And in a society as spoiled rotten as we are, if it is not convenient, if it is not easy, we ain't going to do it. Amen? If we have to go out of our way, you ever see little stores that you used to shop at, you know, a little country market, super, it was a gas station, superette, whatever it was, and I mean, they sold worms and they sold they sold milk and they sold gasoline. You could get kerosene there for your kerosene heater. I mean, it's just had everything a fella could want. But they built another road down through there and four-laned it. And now there's this great big shiny chrome-plated steel, fabricated fiberglass, electronic marvel sitting out there on the highway. And everybody's going there. And this little guy's going out of business. You say, well, why? I thought everybody loved him, and they've been friends with him, and you could go in there and shoot the breeze, and he'd let you have a loaf of bread on the cuff, you know, and write it in the little book. But now nobody can say, why? It's inconvenient. You got to go 50 yards out of your way. You got to turn off here and pull down there. And that guy's going to go broke. Say, why is he going to go broke? Because he's in an inconvenient place. You know what realtors say? The secret to success is location, 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 location. Amen? You ever see some places, they've been 14,000 things in the last 10 years, and none of them made it? And it's a nice piece of property, and it's a nice building, and they put nice stuff on it, but they go broke anyway? 9 times out of 10, it's because of where it's at. It's not easy to get to, or it's not easy to get out of it. The only place I've seen lately that made it in an inconvenient place is that Starbucks down there off of Selene's Drive or book, whatever it is. And that's just because we are addicted to Starbucks. Amen. Which is not a bad thing. But if it's inconvenient, we don't mess with it much. If it's inconvenient, that means it's difficult to use or hard to get to. It causes us trouble or it's a bother. We don't want anything. Stop and think a minute. How many times do you fuss about something simply because it's an aggravation to get it? We got two bathrooms in our house, and one of them's got a sink that's about this high. I love that thing. I can stand straight up and shave or brush my teeth. But the one in the master bedroom is about this high. And you got to bend over like that. I hate that thing. It's just a bother. Amen? You say, well, that's so petty. I know it, but stuff like that really gets us, doesn't it? That's how spoiled we are. That we're so used to having everything just like we want it. We will call a carpenter in and have a whole wall moved. Rearrange the whole house. So what are you doing that for? Well, it was just so aggravating trying to get in there. That door wasn't big enough, or I had to walk down the hall and get in. We'll just redo it. If it's inconvenient, we're not going to put up with it. Uh, when I was a boy, we had a little tent. And it was one of them pup tents made like this. And they had these stakes, tent post in the middle. And then you had stakes you drove up on it and tied them off. And it was kind of aggravating because you had to keep the tent stakes. And you had to have the tent post. And you had to have the rope. And you had to pull one this way and one that way to keep it from sagging in the middle. And after you put it up the next morning, no matter how tight you had it, after it got dew on it, it would sag. And you got to go back and retie it and tighten it up. Man, my grandkids got a tent, and it's kind of a dome-shaped thing. And it's got these little tiny aluminum rods, smaller than my finger. And they fold out and click in place, and they're about 8 or 9 feet long. You just put one in this little thing, and it bends right around and goes in this little thing. And you got like 4 or 5 of them, and you put that whole tent up, no ropes, no stakes, no nothing, in about 2 minutes flat. So what do you like about it? It's so easy. I ain't got to keep track of nothing. You take it down, you fold them things up, throw them inside the tent. Amen. Next time you want to use it, unroll the tent. There they are. I'm set up in 2 minutes. I ain't got to drive no stakes in the ground. I ain't got to keep up with no ropes. Amen. There ain't nothing to trip on when you go potty at night. I mean, it's wonderful. Amen. So what do you like about it? It's convenient. Amen. I didn't like that old tent because it was inconvenient. It was a pain in the neck to use. Now, I went to all that trouble and said all that to set the stage so that you'd understand the precept, so that you'd get the principle, because I want to talk to you about why most Christians don't serve God. It's not convenient. Not convenient. It puts you out. It takes a little bit of effort on your part. It's not always easy. It doesn't always fit into your schedule. If it were more convenient, you'd do more. Amen? But you can't come on Sunday night because it's not convenient. You can't come on Wednesday because it's not convenient. Well, preacher, I work all week and I'm tired on Wednesday. Now, you're preaching to the wrong group here now. I put in about 50, 55 hours every week. Amen. So don't talk to me about coming to church tired or weary. You're wasting your breath. Amen. I've been doing that for 30 years. So, but you know what the problem is? It's just not convenient. You come home, you're tired. Oh, man, I don't feel like having to go in there and take a shower and get dressed and go down there and listen to him. And he tells all the same old jokes over and over, and I'm just... Well, you might have heard all mine, but you ain't heard all Louis. Amen. See, why don't you, it's just not convenient. It puts us out. It takes effort on our part. Amen. besides that, there's other things that are more fun. Now, I want to bring you this little message called Convenient Christianity. I only have 8 little points. It won't take long, and we'll go have a nice Chinese dinner. Amen. I'll give you some things Christians say they're going to do when it's convenient. Number one, Christians think that they'll pray when it's convenient. They go and hear the preacher preach, and boy, he preaches on prayer and talks about how Jesus prayed and Moses prayed and David prayed and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob prayed and Nehemiah and Ezra and all them guys. I mean, they were prayer warriors, and Jesus spent the whole night in prayer, and the preacher preaches on prayer, 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 the power of prayer, and God hears prayer, and that's the way we talk to God, and the importance of it and the necessity of it. And the guy's sitting there in the pew, and he said, he's absolutely right, boy. I don't get anything from God because I don't pray, and I'm not in touch with God because I don't pray, and I don't have that closeness with God because I don't talk to Him and I don't spend time fellowshipping with Him. I'm going to pray as soon as it's convenient. Meaning, when I get time. Well, it's never going to be convenient for you to pray because you ain't never going to have time. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I get up at 6 o'clock now, and I have to get up and brush my teeth and shower and get ready to go to work and eat a bowl of cereal and jump in the car and fly down the road and get down to the work, and I don't have time to pray in the morning, and I'm busy all day, and sometimes I get lunch and sometimes I don't. Boy, I can say amen to that. I didn't get lunch but one day last week. I would pray at lunchtime, but I never know when I'm going to get it or where I'm going to be or who I'm going to be with. And preacher, I'd pray in the evening when I come home, but I get home and the wife's got these things she needs done and dinner's about ready. And so I get a bite to eat and then it's time to take a shower and I need to sit down and rest for a minute. I've been on the go all day and I'm just wore out and I'm in no frame of mind to pray. And so I just need to sit down and relax a minute and get myself together. And then I get so sleepy and tired and lazy, all I can think about is going to sleep. But if I could find a convenient time, I'll tell you right now, I'd be one of your prayer warriors. Well, if you're waiting for it to be convenient, you ain't ever going to do it. That's just one of them things that's always, 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 always inconvenient. Amen? Somebody comes down and said, pray for so-and-so. They got cancer. They're going for this test. They're going for that test. They got this problem. They got that problem. You say, okay, I'll pray for you. If you can find a convenient time. But we're so busy. Well, good night. I've got a wife and I got a job and I got children, I got grandchildren and I got friends and I got my own activities and I got a church to take care of. When in the world am I going to find time to pray for you? It ain't never going to be convenient. Amen? So what do, preacher? I just have to do it when it's inconvenient. Amen? I just have to do it when I don't have time. I just have to make time. I just have to find something else and push it out of my schedule. Amen. I have to do it whether I feel like it or not. Amen. I have to do it when I'm tired. I have to pray when I don't feel like praying. I tell you what, buddy, it's a trip to come home, and it's been one of them bad days, and everybody you've run into has been a moron, certified by the state. I mean, God knows you ought to just pinch your head off and throw it at their dying butt. They ain't got brains enough to walk around. Somebody ever have one of them days? I mean, the world's just full of fools out there all day long. You come home, boy, and you're in a bad mood. I mean, you're just rabid. And the wife looks at you, she says, oops. And she just goes back in the kitchen and don't bother you. But I got all these people I told them I'd pray for them. I got folks down to church houses, got health problems and family problems and children problems. And I got to pray for them. But I don't feel like it, and I ain't in the mood for it. Amen. And what I would really like, if somebody would do me a favor, they would just walk in my living room and smart off. Nothing would make me happier. Then I could go off like a small atomic bomb and just annihilate that fool. Somebody say amen right there. And I got to go in there and pray. I'm telling you right now, bless God, it's not convenient. But I've got a duty. I've got an obligation. So you know what I have to do? I have to do it even though it is not convenient. Say something else. Christians think they'll read their Bible when it's convenient. You ever make up your schedule and say, I'm going to do this. I've got me a routine. I get up at certain time and I have to be at work at certain time and I've got to do this, this, and this. And then you go to work and you've got the day all planned out down there and you get off a certain... You know what your routine is. And somehow, some way, somewhere, you've got to squeeze in 10 chapters. Well, maybe you're one of them 30-minute people. I'll just read for 30 minutes, whatever I can get in 30 minutes. A half a chapter a day is not bad. It takes a lot longer to get a story. Whatever your method is, you know, 10 chapters a day, 3 chapters a day, 30 minutes a day, where am I going to take it? There is no good, convenient place. Now, I've watched my wife, I'm going to use her as an example, she always hates it when I do that, but I have watched my wife for over 30 years. My wife has to leave the house at 6 o'clock every morning to go to work. She gets up about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes early. And as slow as she is and as meticulous as she is about that makeup, it don't take that long. You know what she does? Religiously. Every single day of her life, I've watched her year in and year out, the lady gets up, goes in, reads her Bible, and then gets on her knees at the couch and prays. Every single day, and she don't always feel like it. She suffered from fibromyalgia, high blood pressure, and a bad husband. Amen. Who keeps her up too late and drives her out too early and drives her crazy in between. She doesn't let any of that stuff get in her way. She has got a designated time and a place. To me, that is commendable. That's commendable. It's not convenient. She would love to stay in bed. Matter of fact, some morning she'll set that clock and she'll say, do I have to pack your lunch in the morning? Sometimes I eat out and whatever. And I'll say, no, I'm eating out tomorrow. Oh, good. I can stay in bed an extra 10 minutes. And boy, that clock goes off. She slaps that sucker right quick, and she's got 10 more. She don't want to get up. Amen. It's not convenient. But it has to be done. The only way we do things is when we make ourselves do them. If we don't commit to it, if we don't obligate ourselves, if we don't have a routine, if there's not a time and a place, and regardless of whether we feel good or don't feel good, we're going to do it. If you don't have that, you never, ever will get it done, because it never will be convenient. Getting them going to work is not convenient, but you go. Number three. Christians think they'll tithe when it's convenient. Now, preacher, you got to preach on money. Oh, yeah, I love preaching on money. Man, it takes money to run the church. Amen. If I made more, I'd drive a nicer car, I'll tell you that. It does take money to run God's church. It takes money to keep this place up and pay for it and fix it up when it breaks and have linger longers and send kids to youth camp. We spent a lot of money on them young people this year, and we're going to spend some more before the summer's over. Yeah. Amen. And y'all ought to bring some more young kids and get them involved. But anyway, it takes money. It takes money. Brother Delaney came last week. We didn't take a dime up while he was here. Now, some of y'all know that. You were here, and some of y'all don't know that because you never came. But we never took an offering, because when he got here, Sister Natalie brought me a little envelope, had some money in it, and I gave him his money, and that's the last time money was mentioned all week long. Amen? But it took money. We had to put him in a motel. That cost money. We had to feed him. That cost money. We had to pay him. I mean, he's got a family too. Amen? It takes money. And people say, well, I'm going to tithe as soon as I get out of debt. But you down there looking at a new big screen, high def. You know something? You ain't ever going to get out of debt. You know what you're going to do? That car is 3 years old and it's already got 37,521 miles on it. I'm afraid it's not dependable, and I got to take care of my wife. I'm going to get her a new one. Amen? And so you get down and spend another 20 grand to buy another new car. You buy, got your house paid off, you take out a second mortgage on it or refinance it or whatever, so you can add on that bonus room back there in the back and put that pool table in that you've always been wanting, that you'll use for 5 or 6 weeks, and then that room won't get used anymore either. Amen. Amen. See what I'm saying? I'm saying, if you're waiting until you have the money to start giving God what belongs to Him, you ain't ever going to give God a dime. You got to take it no matter what. You say, well, I owe it to Sears and Roebuck. You owe it to God first. Amen. Now, I know you say, well, God won't send me a dun, and Sears and Roebuck will. Oh, I beg to differ with you. God will send you a late notice. Amen. And He'll let Piedmont Medical collect your tithes. Amen. Amen. Like this fella he's a deacon in a church, and he hadn't tithed in a couple of years. And he got real bad off sick. Boys all pouring to death, and they had him over in the hospital. And the church Sunday morning, somebody walked over to that preacher and said, where's old brother so-and-so? He said, oh, he's down there at the hospital paying his tithes. Amen. Listen, let me tell you something. Israel was down in Egypt land for 400 years, and they didn't tithe. Read your Old Testament and see if God didn't get every dime of it. for an entire nation. God Almighty collected every dime that was owed him, and he'll get yours too. Now, it just depends on how you want to pay it. Amen? He said, well, if I had the money, I would. Son, you got the money. You just given it to somebody else. Amen? Well, if I get this paid off, or if I get that raise, well, you're going to spend it too. I remember when I was in the Navy and made $113 a month, if I remember right. Now, that's been a long time ago. But it, I mean, and you could live on that. You couldn't live well, but you could get by. But I was thinking the other day, we spend more sometimes on a weekend just eating out than I used to spend or make in a month. Now, God's been good. Amen. And back then, my tithes would have been $1.30. Now it's $2.10. God's prospered, right? People say, oh, I can't afford tithe. You know what happened? Back then, we could live off of that. Now, everything I make now, it takes to live off of that. What you're going to do is adjust your living standard to reflect what you make. Because, oh, if I made as much money as you do, boy, I'd have money in the bank. No, you wouldn't. You'd be just like me and Louie or whoever. You'd spend it. Now, me and Louie could have money if we didn't have wives. But it's never going to be convenient to take 10% of your income. It's just not going to be. You're going to always be able to find some reason not to take it, not to give it. It's like a fella, he used to make $100 a week and he tithed. And he got promoted, and then he got promoted again, he got promoted again. And pretty soon he was making $1,000 a week. And he quit tithing. And the preacher came to him, talked to him about it, and said, I noticed that you haven't been putting tithe envelope in lately. What's the problem? He said, preacher, he said, I'm telling you the honest truth. He said, it cost me $100 a week. He said, I can't afford to tithe. He's making 10 times what he was making. So the preacher said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to pray that God will demote you so you can afford to put that $10 back in that plate. Amen. You can't afford not to tithe. Amen. You need to get your income in line and give God his 10%. Now, some of y'all think I'm just saying that because I'm the preacher and I get all the money. I am the preacher, but Lewis gets all the money. Actually, we don't. Neither one of us gets all the money. It takes the money to pay the bills and do all the stuff we do. I'm saying that because whether I got a dime or not is immaterial. And it shouldn't be a concern to you other than we don't waste it. That ought to be a concern. But if it's properly spent, where we spend it is immaterial. The principle is you owe it to God and you're supposed to give it. Amen? And if you don't, God's not going to bless you. God's not going to prosper you like he would have if you had obeyed the commandment to tithe. But it just never is convenient. We always owe this, or I had this unexpected doctor bill, or the car broke down. But you always manage to get that money for that vacation. Now, I think people that take more than a week, a year vacation ought to pay tithes at 20%. Number five or four, wherever I'm at, I got to hurry. It'd be better if I could see. I'm not crying, but my eyes are just absolutely driving me crazy. They're leaking. I don't know what's wrong with them. All right, where's that? I got to hit this one while the Sunday morning crowd is here. It would be a sin against God not to say this. Number four, Christians think that they will attend church when it's convenient. Preacher, I know I ought to be there Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I know God gives you three messages a week, and I know if God wants gives you three messages a week, he expects us to be there three times, amen? And I know the world is wild and woolly and wicked and all that. And we get out there and get dirty and defiled and our minds are polluted. And we need to be in there on Wednesday and get cleaned up a little bit and to help us stay on the straight and narrow. And if it was convenient, we'd be there. I know I need to be. Preacher, I know you're right, and we want to come. It just ain't been convenient lately. Well, how come? Oh, you got the kids in T-ball on Sunday evening. I got it. And Junior and Sally are in the Boy Scouts and the Brownie Scouts on Wednesdays. Or they're in the Little League or the, what's the one, T-ball, where you put it on a stick and the kid ain't big enough to play the game. Just drives me bonkers, man. If he ain't big enough to swing at the ball in motion, he ain't big enough to play. Do you understand that? That's Bible now, I'm telling you. We would come on Wednesday, but well, just don't let your kid join the Boy Scouts because they have their meetings on Wednesday. Amen. Amen. You say, well, they've got these extracurricular things at school. One, they shouldn't be in public school in the first place. But I'm not gonna get on that, but I'm here to tell you they ought to be homeschooled or in a private school, and you ought to be working a second job to pay for it. Amen. Amen. You ought to give up that second car and that big house and put them kids in a private school. But I'm not going to talk about that much. Now, I say, they got these extracurricular activities. Not if it interferes with church. Amen. You say, well, they want to play in the band, but band practice on Wednesday afternoon. Well, they don't get to play in the band unless the band will give them an exemption for Wednesdays. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. See, God always comes first. And down here in the South, God comes last. Everything, family and job and fun and school and activities, all that comes before God. Some of y'all would have to turn your life upside down to put God first. You got God down here and everything else down here, and here you are, and you're going that way, and God's back here. The only way to get God first in your life is you need to turn around and go that way. It'd be like getting saved all over again. But they're going to come to church when it's convenient. When Sunday morning the kids come down, preacher, they ain't been here in 2 weeks. Amen. Mama and Daddy are coming down, and they're going to spend the weekend with us. Would you ever think about bringing Mama and Daddy to church with you? Amen. Amen. Well, preacher, I'm not saying nothing bad about Mama and Daddy, but they're not church-going folk. Okay. Let them heathens stay in your house. And go to church without them. Amen. You say, Mom and Daddy, now I understand y'all not church-going folks, but you got to understand we is. And we is going. Amen. Well, preacher, that just seems so rude. Yeah, it does. It seems awful rude to me to come down and stay in my house and not want to go to church with me. Amen. Amen. Oh, ain't Matilda and Grandma and Mama, as far as I'm concerned, could sit there and watch whatever's on the television set on Sunday morning. I'm going to church. Amen. Amen. Whether it's convenient or not. Whether Grandma and Grandpa come by or not. You say, well, they only come once a year. Well, once a year they need to see that God comes first. Amen. I'm here to tell you, if the President of the United States came to my house on Sunday morning, he'd be required to go to church. I'd tell him, I started to say Bill, but what's his name? George. Bring your coat and tie, because Sunday morning we're going to be down at King James Baptist Church. Amen? And if you're going to eat my groceries and sleep in my bed, blessed be God, you're going to church with me. And if you can't do that, don't bring your sorry Texas butt on down here. Amen. Number 5. Christians think they'll serve God when it's convenient. Preacher, I know y'all need church people help down there at the church house. Need people to vacuum the floor and clean the bathrooms. And we need folks to keep the place up outside. And I'd like to help you with that, but I just never have the time. I'm just so busy. I got so much stuff going on. My plate's so full. I just can't get down there to do that. Now I know it needs to be done, and I'd love to help you out, but I wonder why it is some people always think their life is so much busier and fuller than the rest of us. You ever notice how that is? Some people just never can do anything because they're just so much busier than the rest of us. Amen. My wife finds time to come down and clean the church. Amen. Some of these other ladies and their husbands find time to come down and clean the church. And I know you would if you're just so busy. You're not going to find much sympathy with the busy thing with me. You know what? I am so busy. But I've noticed how you busy folks are. You always find time to do the stuff you want to do. Amen? You can always find time to go out of town on the weekend. You can always find time for a vacation. You can always find time to go down and watch the grandkids or the great-grandkids play t-ball. But you ain't never got time to come down and cut a blade of grass or put a little paint on the wall or vacuum a floor. Amen. Or help out with the young people. Amen. Brother Lewis and Sister Nathalia could use some help sometime. Lord have mercy. Y'all know them young'uns like wild Indians. I know some of them churches go out there and they got 25, 30 kids to one chaperone. We ain't doing that. We want one for about every three or four young'uns. Amen. Say why? Because we plan on watching hours. Amen. They ain't going to do like some of them groups go down there. They go down there and the kids go that way and the chaperones get over here and they sit there and shoot the breeze and talk and have a good old time and them kids over here doing God only knows what. When we go, them youngins don't get out of the sight, buddy. I mean, just like an eagle watching them. See, why? Because you don't trust them. You got it right out of the gut. You're right. We don't trust them. Kids are mean, sneaky, wicked, and bear watching at all times. Amen. Yes, sir. That's the best one. People say, "Well, I want to do something for God, preacher. I just don't have time. It's just never as convenient. It never is it? I mean, sometimes or another, if you're going to do anything for God, you're just going to have to do it when it ain't convenient. Amen. It's just going to have to be inconvenient. I got a couple minutes here. Let me give you a couple more. You know what? You know what backsliders always say? Now, preacher, I know I need to get right with God, and I'm going to. Now, you mark that down. I know you're right, and I'm acknowledging right here and there. Preacher, I mean, you got my number, and I'm going to get it fixed. I'm going to get right just as soon. And he's got some excuse. See, what's he saying? As soon as it's convenient. As soon as there ain't nothing else in the way. When he got nothing else to do and no place else to go, and there ain't nothing left but God, that's God he's going to get right. And you know what they do? They don't ever get right. Because it never is convenient. Never is convenient. Oh, dead Christians, they got no spirit in them. They got life in them, no joy in them. They don't enjoy church. They don't enjoy preaching. They don't enjoy the fellowship of the saints. The church has activities. They don't bother to come. They're not interested. I mean, they're just cold and dead and backslid and about 100 miles away from God. But they know they ought to get right, and they going to. As soon as it's convenient. Well, it ain't going to be convenient till all your grandkids are dead and buried. And it's not going to be convenient till you're crippled up and can't go anymore. It ain't going to be convenient till you get fat and sloppy and can't wear that bikini and go to the beach anymore. Amen. When you get to where you're so crippled up, you can't do anything and you're hobbling around, well, then maybe you'll hobble on down to the house of God. And then you'll give one of them testimonies, preacher, I wish I'd have done this years ago. Why wait? Why not just go ahead and get right with God? He said, well, you'd have to do something, wouldn't you? That's the problem. It's just not convenient. If it was just easy, if there was nothing to it, you'd be glad to do it. Well, if it wasn't nothing to it, if it was real easy, everybody would be doing it. And last but not least, well, actually, I got a couple more. The lost person thinks they'll get saved when it's convenient. They're going to. Well, I don't know how many people I've heard over the years tell me that. The preacher, I'm going to. I'm going to get right with God. I really am. You mark it down. I know you think I'm just saying that, but I mean it. I know you've heard that before, but I'm telling you the truth now. If I know anything, I know myself, and they never do. They die and go to hell every day of the year, every hour of the day. See why? Because it wasn't convenient to get saved. It wasn't convenient to give their heart to Christ. And they're going to die without God and go to a Christless grave and spend eternity in hell. See why? It just was never convenient. It just never was the right time. What a reason to go to hell. Because you're too lazy and too sorry to do the easiest thing in the world, receive Christ as your Savior. I will close with this. We all think we'll die when it's convenient. I tell you, preacher, I ain't letting nothing sneak up on me. I done made my plans. Me and my wife done bought our plots, got our headstones paid for, got my casket bought and paid for. When we die, ain't gonna be no expense on nobody. And I've got the service all planned out. Yeah, you got it all figured out, don't you? Except one tiny little thing. When? You just don't know when, do you? I got an uncle, had an uncle, he's dead and gone now, but he lived up in Vesper City, North Carolina. He was a pretty nice fella, and as far as I know, he was in pretty good health. And one day he was talking to his daughter on the phone, and he said, I don't feel good. And she said, what's the matter, Daddy? And he said, well, nothing, I guess. He said, I just don't feel good. And he just kind of sat down in the corner and died. So what was wrong? Oh, he had an aneurysm in his stomach, and it ruptured, and his stomach filled up with blood, and he bled to death. Just sat right there and died. I said, he just wasn't looking for that. That's not how he had it planned. He had this big elaborate thing all worked out in his head. But it didn't go that way. You ever have plans? And somehow they just get all messed up. And you get all frustrated and aggravated and throw a fit and show your butt, you know. I mean, just say, what's the matter? Well, we spent all this time and all this money, and I bought these tickets, and we was going to do this, that, and the other, and this happened, and now we can't do it, and I can't get my money back. The best laid plans of mice and men. We think we'll die when it's convenient. Think we'll die the way we want to die. Now, I'll tell you the honest truth, I don't want to die. I just want to go up in the rapture. Amen. That's the most convenient way to go. Amen. Just dematerialize and change into a glorified supernatural image of Jesus Christ. That's the way to go. Now, the next best thing, if I got to die like a regular fella, I want to die about 3, 4 o'clock in the morning on a cold winter night. I want to die snuggled up as close as I can get to my wife. The perfect thing would be to get up in the middle of the night when it's cold in the house and, you know, make the bathroom run and be there a couple of minutes and get a chill and come back and snuggle up. Man, well, she is just so toasty warm and soft. That's the most wonderful thing in the world. and just have a gentle heart attack and just slip out into eternity. That's the way I want to go. Now you pick your way. People say, oh, I want to go doing this. And I want, not me. So don't you want to die in a pulpit? That's my second option. My first option is snuggle up with mama. Amen. I'm sorry, I'm just carnal minded. I wonder if it'll work out that way. Probably not. Probably not. My luck, I'll get killed by some big, fat, ugly Mexican out on Highway 77 going the wrong direction. Man, I ain't got no luck at all. We think we'll die when it's convenient. We think we'll die when it suits us. We think we'll die when it's the way we want. But don't go that way. I was over at the law center at the 911 a couple, 3 weeks ago, and they had some big problems over there. The city had lost power. And I was in there, and it was getting warm, and the people in 911 was getting frustrated. And this one little girl was sitting there with her computer screens on, and she's talking to somebody, and I could tell there was some sense of urgency. So I asked this kid that was standing behind me, I said, what's the problem? They said, oh, said some kid out here going towards Sharon or something. Now, this is like 1 o'clock in the morning when I'm down there. Said some kid out there in Sharon, been down there at some little club drinking, got on his motorcycle and go flying down the road and forgot that it makes a 90-degree turn. The road went this way and he went that way. And he killed himself. How old was he? He's 19. He's dead and in hell. He just never found a convenient time to get right with God. He didn't die in a convenient place. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we have to put convenient aside and do things that are inconvenient, things that are a bother, things that are an aggravation. Just have to do them anyway. If you're ever going to serve God, you have to do it when it's inconvenient. If you're ever going to get saved, you have to do it when it's inconvenient. If you wait for that convenient time, you will never, ever, ever get it done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for your goodness.